This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauly tonight as we start the second hour of our Graybar Sports Open Line. I'll be with you the next three nights as well. We're going to be talking more Cardinals draft in 2025. Had that number 5 overall selection they used on Liam Doyle out of Tennessee. They have now made their final selections. They picked 21 players in total over 20 rounds, plus a competitive balance round B in between rounds 2 and 3 when they made their third selection. We will talk to Brian Walton in about 13 minutes about the Cardinals draft class. He covers the St. Louis Cardinals minor league system, among some other things, for thecardinalnation.com. I think we'll also touch on the Club World Cup, which wrapped up yesterday in New York / New Jersey at MetLife Stadium with Chelsea beating PSG. Obviously, this is a soccer city, and that's only become even more true since the addition of St. Louis City SC and the U.S. men's national team rolling through here, and women's for that matter, but the U.S. teams rolling through City Park with some frequency now Energizer Park over the first few years of its existence, including the U.S. men getting what turned out to be their last win in the Gold Cup in the semifinals before they lost to Mexico down in Houston last week. Bill McDermott's going to join us tomorrow night, and we're going to talk a little bit more about not only the Club World Cup, but also the U.S. men's national team and some more around the soccer world. But I think it'll be interesting to get any comments from all of you. If the Club World Cup was even on your radar at all, I mean, FIFA went really, really hard in marketing that tournament, and whether that has moved the needle at all as a precursor to the World Cup proper coming to the United States next summer. And how, if at all, the excitement level changed for you, up, down, didn't register one way or the other. That'll be part of our discussion in this second hour as well. If you want to be part of any conversation, Cardinals, soccer, anything else that's on your mind, 314-436-7900 is the number to call. You can also get to us on the free Odyssey app using the TalkBack feature. You can leave a comment on our streams across any of your social media outlets, or you can tweet us at KMOX Sports. So that Cardinals draft class, it is highlighted by Liam Doyle, the number 5 overall selection. A couple of Tennessee Volunteers in the first three choices for the Cardinals. Doyle at number 5. Tanner Franklin, even harder throwing right-hander, at number 72. He stands at 6'5", 225. Doyle, 6'2", 220. He slimmed down some, though, from that left-hand side. You heard Bernie make mention of it. You heard Mike Monaco make mention of it during our first hour, which we spent talking mostly about the Wimbledon championships, at least with Mike, but also got some good insight on Liam Doyle, a player he has covered frequently during Doyle's Tennessee career. And Tony Vitello talked about that as well during the MLB draft. He was on television being interviewed during some of the coverage and talked about Doyle's commitment to getting himself physically in the place that he needed to be to take that final step. And did he ever? 2025 SEC Pitcher of the Year, can touch 99 miles an hour from the left side. That is going to draw significant attention. The Cardinals selected just one high school player out of their 21 draft choices, Ryan Mitchell out of Houston High School in Tennessee. So, in fact, the first three picks were all Tennessee kids in some way or another. Mitchell, a high school outfielder, 18 years old, born in January of 2007. January of 2007. If and when he does make it to the majors, he certainly will be the first Cardinal born in 2007 to do so. All the other guys, 2003, 2004 birthdays on the college players, but Mitchell born in 07. He is a high school kid. You heard Bernie talk about him and relaying during the Redbird Rush Hour earlier, and you can go back and hear that on the Free Odyssey app in podcast form. He was referencing, relaying, really, some comments from Keith Law, who is a longtime MLB draft analyst, does it in as much or more depth than anybody, and talking about how Mitchell kind of fits, in many ways, the Cardinals ethos, which and what seems to be the Heim Bloom Cardinals ethos of the future, in concert with Randy Flores, the director of scouting, that they want the really high contact bats and the upside that comes with that. And Mitchell fits into that category. All the rest, college bats taken in this draft class by the Cardinals. Doyle at the top of it is the most interesting. So is Franklin. I wonder if there's a chance, you know, we've talked about how quickly both of those guys could get to the major league level. Franklin, in part, because he probably projects as a reliever, and Doyle, because maybe if they wanted to, they could bring him up very quickly as a reliever and make that part of the broader plan for him to ultimately start. As a general rule, I don't love that approach. It just feels a little funky to me. Obviously, starting pitcher and relief pitcher are still fundamentally the same thing in that you're still pitching, but you would never, sometimes you have to, but you would never intentionally develop a guy as a second baseman, bring him to the majors as a second baseman, saying, oh, well, we'll just do that for the rest of this year. We'll do it for a year and we'll see how it goes. I mean, we've seen firsthand that when the Cardinals have had to do weird things positionally with top prospects, it hasn't gone the best, right? I mean, what did it do to the development of Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman to throw them the curveball of not being able to play third base because all of a sudden they were blocked by Nolan Arenado? I'm not saying that either of them would be all-stars right now if not for that. And obviously, again, being a position player, being a pitcher are different things. It's not like the mechanics have to change of pitching just because you're a reliever versus a starter. But the mindset does change. The preparation does change. A lot of the mental and physical approach is different. And I wonder if... I also think... So this is maybe... I don't know. There's a certain tension between these two opinions, maybe. The first thing I think is if you want a guy to be a starter, have him be a starter. And if he gets to the majors a year later, he gets to the majors a year later. Who cares? The control clock hasn't started. Doesn't make much difference to me. The other side of it is, if you bring a guy up as a reliever and he's great at it, why does he have to be a starter? If he's pitching 70 times a year in high leverage situations and impacting baseball games, I felt this way about Jordan Hicks. I didn't and don't understand why there was such a push to make him into a starter. Great. Your reward is that then some team, in this case San Francisco Giants and now the Boston Red Sox, but the Giants gave him the contract, had to give him $44 million over 4 years, and now he's right back in the bullpen. So now what they have is a supremely overpaid relief pitcher. Much in the way, not that it's so much fault of his own, but much in the same way Steven Matz, frankly, is a very overpaid relief pitcher. He's effective, but if Steven Matz, going into his relationship with the Cardinals, had been viewed as a bridge lefty reliever, he's not getting $12 million a year. It's just not happening. That's not how the market works. Now, maybe this is why pitchers and their agents want to be starters if they can be, because those number four, number five starters are getting three, four, five-year, five-figure-a-year guaranteed contracts, whereas the Ryan Helsleys of the world are scrapping in arbitration, and then, you know, the highest paid, what does Edwin Diaz get? Like, he got like 3 years, 60, something like that. you know, which is a lot of money, but it's just still his guaranteed dollars. He only got, you know, $10, $12, $15 million more guaranteed than Steven Matz got, you know, when he's at the time he was at the absolute peak of his profession, if you will, being a relief pitcher. And Steven Matz was being signed as, at best, probably like a number three starter and more realistically a number four. So you can understand why guys would want to be starters. Anyway, it's getting a little sidetracked from Liam Doyle. I think my mindset would be, unless the Cardinals were in a position where they felt they were a Liam Doyle in the bullpen away from being genuine World Series contenders, and he wasn't ready to come up as a starter, I would never pitch him out of the bullpen. I just wouldn't do it. And I don't see a scenario, I would love to be wrong, but I don't see a scenario where between now and when Liam Doyle is ready to start in the majors, the Cardinals become a Liam Doyle away from World Series contention team. I mean, what is it going to be until Liam Doyle's ready to make his major league debut as a starter? 2 years? 3 years at the most? Probably anything more than 3 years would be pretty disappointing, considering that he's 21 years old already and has multiple years of college experience, SEC Pitcher of the Year. I mean, you're drafting this guy probably with a hope that he's in the major leagues in some form during the 2027 season, and probably that he's a full-time major leaguer by 2028, 2029 at the absolute latest. I would think that's your goal. I mean, by that point, he's turning 25, and that's that. You know, if you don't draft a guy number five to be making his major league debut at 27 years old, that's just not the game plan. It might work out that way. There are late bloomers. You know, you can be a contributor at whatever age. Somebody like Brent Rooker is an example, a guy who was passed over in many ways and didn't click right away in the major league level, and now is a two-time All-Star and is in the Home Run Derby tonight. You know, but what I'm saying is, if you imagine Liam Doyle is becoming a major leaguer in plan A or B in the next 2 to 3 years, I don't see a Cardinals roster that's one great relief pitcher away from World Series contention in the next 2 to 3 years. So I don't think they're sacrificing a whole lot by allowing him to develop as a starter, getting him there as a starter. The last thing that you would want is get him to the majors and he's having to sacrifice development on that, those third and fourth pitches, and really fleshing out his arsenal because he's got to focus on his primary pitches to, as a major league reliever, to get big league hitters out, or that he gets to the majors as a reliever and he has a really negative experience. And now you're having to deal with that mental side of getting those headlines, getting that kind of media attention, taking that hit to the confidence, having to go back down to the minors, back to the starting rotation, and piece it back together again. Again, we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but this is going to be part of the conversation at some point. So although it's fun to talk about, oh, Doyle could maybe be part of a bullpen if you needed him even this year, certainly next year, it's fun to have those conversations because so often the major league draft feels very removed from the major leagues itself because it takes so long. I mean, a guy like Ryan Mitchell, he might not make it to the majors for 7 years, right? You hope to see him in 3 or 4, that would be great, but 5, 6, 7 would not be a surprise at all. You know, that's still, he'd be 23, 24, 25 years old at that point. He's a young kid. So sometimes it can feel like there's so much delayed gratification that we want to unwrap our presents now. Liam Doyle's under the tree and we don't want to wait another couple of weeks. But, you know, in the broad scheme of things, I think it's probably in the Cardinals' best interest to do whatever is most important for Liam Doyle's development. And if that marginally hurts the 2026 Cardinals in a wild card chase, not going to lose sleep about that. But this is something that we can talk about with a better informed man in Brian Walton, who covers the Cardinals minor league system for thecardinalnation.com. Maybe ask him about Nolan Church as well, the outfielder down in Memphis, who Bernie was raving about during Redbird rush hour, and whose analysis maybe contributes to Bernie's opinion on trading Lars Nootbaar potentially and why that might be a good option for the Cardinals. Brian can weigh in on all of that coming up after the break on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Graybar Sports Open Line continues on this Monday evening. Nate Gatter in for Matt Pauly during the Major League All-Star break. And we are joined now by Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. That's TheCardinalNation.com. There's no All-Star break for Brian and for the folks who cover minor league baseball because the Major League Draft took place over the last couple of evenings. The Cardinals have made their 21 selections, 20 rounds, plus a competitive balance pick. Brian, thanks so much for being with us on KMOX. We appreciate you.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be on, Nate, and you're right. It's a very busy time. It's really Christmas for those of us who care about the minor leaguers and this great infusion of talent that's going to be coming into the system.
You know, I was talking with Bernie Miklas on Redbird Rush Hour earlier this evening, and we were talking about how the fact that the Cardinals are the only team with a winning record that only has one representative at the All-Star game is in some ways representative of a narrative that has grown around this ball club over the last decade, really, which is commonly having too many, not too many, because you can't have too many, but having a lot of good players and not having enough great players. And part of that is because it's really hard, especially for a mid-market team, to go out and acquire great players, whether because the trade cost is high or more commonly because the free agent cost in salary and guaranteed dollars over a long contract is just too high for a market like St. Louis to commonly guarantee. And as a result, that leaves the draft and development where the Cardinals have just not been poor necessarily, but have taken a step back undoubtedly from where they were for so often. Their hope will be, or for so long, I should say, their hope would be that Liam Doyle, who they selected at number five overall, a pick that they sort of lucked into through the lottery, certainly got a boost and then kind of lucked into with some of the chaos in the first couple of picks that folks did not expect, it can be one of those guys who becomes a dude and goes from not just a good player, but makes the Cardinals a team that has one more great player.
You're right, Nate. And, you know, think about the situation last year where the entire Cardinals rotation, and of course this was when Gibson and Lynn were still there, but the entire rotation was made up of players that were brought in from the outside. And the Cardinals just don't have a business model that they can afford to pay for that kind of talent to have the kind of rotation that you need to go deep into October. And so, you know, what we're seeing with the pick of Liam Doyle and some of the others, Tanner Franklin and others in this draft, the Cardinals are really doubling down on pitching, and they're going after college arms that they hope can move fairly rapidly through the system, you know, and that will, you know, be able to contribute in St. Louis in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I want to touch on that because the Cardinals, not just on the arm side, but in total, they took 20 college players and just one high schooler, which is interesting. And then in particular, with those arms they took toward the top of the draft, in particular, Liam Doyle, also Tanner Franklin, who they took with the competitive balance selection, number 32 overall out of Tennessee as well. Right-hander who throws really, really hard. These are guys who could move very quickly, as you said. Let's start with Doyle. What do you think is a reasonable sort of best case to worst case, ceiling to floor arrival time for Doyle in the major leagues?
Well, we've seen players, you know, like Michael Wacha in the past get up to double A, maybe even touch triple A in their first full season after being drafted. Now that would be next season. So, you know, an optimist could look at 2027 and say, you know, Doyle could be an impact guy at that time, but that's, you know, getting the cart way ahead of the horse. But, you know, what the Cardinals really did in this draft is they drafted guys with triple digit heat. You know, not just Doyle, Tanner Franklin, 100, Cade Crossland, their first pick today. He only max outs at 98. So, I mean, they're going after guys that are going to get strikeouts, and you hope that they have, the kind of season that Quinn Matthews had last year where he led the minor leagues, all the minor leagues in strikeouts and moved through the system very quickly. Now, you know, Matthews has slowed down this year, but, you know, they're looking for more guys like Matthews and Wacha before him that'll get to St. Louis as quickly as possible. But on the other hand, of course, you know, you can't rush a player either. He's going to tell you when he's ready based on his level of performance against his competition.
Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com is with us. You mentioned the velocity and some of the swing and miss ability that these pitchers, the Cardinals took, especially up toward the top of the draft, bring to the table. For a while, we used to hear consistently from the Cardinals' brain trust at the major league level that they viewed themselves as sort of zigging while the rest of the league zagged, if you will, that they were going to take some guys who were more pitched to soft contact because they thought those guys were undervalued and paying for defense was undervalued. And you could essentially pay for soft contact and great defense, and you could accomplish those two things less expensively than strikeouts because the rest of the league was paying for strikeouts. Do you think this draft is an indicator maybe that they're pivoting from that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, it goes back to Dave Duncan, yeah, you know, to that era. And it was a very successful approach for a long, long time. But the sophistication level of defenses and the stats that are available to help players position are so much better than ever before. And it puts more and more pressure on those defenses. And, of course, the best way to avoid any defensive problems is to strike out the hitter and not put the ball in play. And the Cardinals drafting fifth overall allowed them to get a talent like Doyle. I personally am glad they didn't go for a hitter. Not that a polished hitter or even one of the high school hitters that were available wouldn't have been a bad pick, but they need help on the mound. And this is a guy that has accomplished everything at the highest level of competition, is a bulldog. I mean, a guy who's striking out over 15 strikeouts per nine innings as a starter is almost unheard of. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure, I'm sure, on Doyle, just like there's been pressure on J.J. Weatherholt, who was a first-round pick last year. But so far, Weatherholt's answered the bell, and I'm sure the Cardinals believe that Doyle will too. Now, I asked him specifically last night, Doyle, what his workload has been since he's finished his college season, because it's been about 5 weeks since Doyle's last pitch in a game. And he said he's continued to throw on the side, throw his bullpens. He just hasn't gone out and thrown 100 pitches every Friday night. But Doyle says he could be ready to go in a week. It'll be interesting to see if the new player development regime that's in place under Rob Serfolio and Larry Day and Director of Pitching Matt Pierpont, whether they're going to baby guys their first year or whether they're going to, you know, drop them into action right away. And I shouldn't say baby guys because, you know, these college pitchers have thrown a lot of innings in the spring, and stopping for a while and then restarting again is dangerous and risky. But, you know, another way to move guys quicker to the majors is to put them on the mound right away when after they're drafted.
Yeah, you talk about moving guys quickly, and you've mentioned a couple of names of college players who are moving quickly through the Cardinal system already in Quinn Matthews and J.J. Weatherholt. You know, with Doyle, one of the things that we've heard already, certainly you'll hear it with Tanner Franklin, because I think a lot of folks feel he projects as a bullpen arm long term. But one of the things that we've talked about already during the course of this show earlier, and I think folks elsewhere are talking about too, is the prospect of potentially getting Doyle to the majors initially as a reliever, the way the Cardinals have done with some other top prospects in the past. Do you think that's something that they would consider, or is that maybe going out of style as well with some of the new regime?
I think it's going to depend a lot on what their needs are. You know, when that happened before with Dakota Hudson and I think Carlos Martinez, you know, some of those guys were good enough to go in the rotation, but the Cardinals felt that the five that they had starting were solid enough that they didn't want to displace them. But as soon as you have an injury in an opening, then plans change. And so, you know, I don't think that they'll necessarily, you know, have plan A be that Doyle might come in as a reliever initially. But, you know, if he's clearly one of the best 13 pitchers coming out of spring camp in, say, 2027, you know, it'd be foolish for them to not put him on the roster and give him a chance. Now,
right.
The downside of that is once you take a guy out of a starting routine, it's kind of hard to get him going again in that routine during the course of the season.
Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com is with us. Brian, you know, so much talk about Liam Doyle, and understandably so, because the Cardinals just don't draft number five overall every year. In fact, they do it almost never. So, it makes sense that people would be enamored with that name, that they're able to get that high up in the draft. Is there anybody, especially maybe outside of those top three, four, five names, who stands out to you either because of great value or for some other reason?
There's a couple of guys. One of them is a guy we won't see for a year, and that's Peyton Graham, a right-hander from Gonzaga. He had Tommy John surgery in April, but this is a guy that has a mid-90s fastball up to 98, a couple breaking balls, a really solid young pitcher, but the Cardinals drafted him at 210th overall in the seventh round, realizing that he's going to have a year to rehab. There's a guy they took in the 10th round, and this is a profile that the Cardinals went after this year, too, and that is a multi-inning reliever that the Cardinals think, hey, maybe they can enhance their repertoire enough that they can be a starter. I'm talking about Ty Van Dyke from Stetson that they took in the 10th round. This is a guy that's 6'2", 255, tops out at 95 to 97, a good slider as well. And so, you know, it's not just starting pitchers, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, Nate. They're also looking at reliever types that they might be able to either turn to pitchers or, again, move through the system relatively quickly. And that's why a lot of their focus was on college players.
Did take a couple of, a few small college guys, but in particular a couple of non-Division I guys, pair of D2 kids, Jake Schelagowski, pitcher out of Saginaw Valley State in the 13th round, and Chase Heath, a catcher from here in the state of the University of Central Missouri, was their final selection at number 20. Shows you that scouts can find you wherever you are.
That's right, and the Cardinals pride themselves in having, you know, scouts that that do the job, not only finding the players, but then understanding what their makeup is like and whether they're a player that would be suitable to be in the Cardinal system. And Schelagowski is another guy, set the single-season saves record at his school, and so whether he's a starter or maybe he's a fast-moving reliever. And then, you know, using their last pick on a catcher, Chase Heath, Randy Flores is very high on Heath in terms of his leadership. And he's a guy, if you look at his numbers, he's won a gold glove defensively, but also is, you know, hit like in the 370 range. So, a last round pick sounds like a great one for the Cardinals to use. And in the past, they had a lot of times late in the draft saved a pick for a high school player that was hard to sign because it's sort of a safety valve if they couldn't sign their top players. They didn't do that this time around because they believe that they're in good shape in getting these top guys under contract. And they only have 2 weeks to do it. The signing deadline is 2 weeks from today on the 28th. So yeah. Flory's work and his team's work is not done.
what I'm hearing is your work is not done either. There's going to be a lot of news now to follow the, even though we're through the two nights of selections, a lot of news over these next couple of weeks. Brian, I really quickly want to touch on one other thing because it came up during the Redbird Rush Hour when we were talking to Bernie Miklas earlier this evening. You know, one of the things that he has discussed is the possibility of the Cardinals trading Lars Nootbaar if they got the right offer for him, in part because the outfield is just a little bit crowded and has been a little bit crowded for the Cardinals, in part because he's one of those names who has drawn significant interest around Major League Baseball in the past, and in part because of Nathan Church, who Bernie is really excited about, and with good reason. I mean, this kid has torn the cover off the ball across nearly 60 combined games between AA Springfield and AAA Memphis this year. 943 OPS at Springfield, 1,026 OPS at Memphis. What's the buzz around Church right now?
Nathan Church was a guy, you know, not unlike Nootbaar. You know, he wasn't drafted in the first day of the draft, didn't get a big bonus, and was known for his defensive skills. I'm talking about Nathan Church, a very, very good defender, but wasn't able to necessarily hit with the same type of offense that you needed to be a major league starter. And he's been able to improve his hitting against both right and left-handers to the point where he was the Texas League Player of the Month in May, and then he was promoted to Memphis. His first month with Memphis, he played even better and was our Player of the Month across the entire system in his first month at AAA. Now, I don't know if Nathan Church will be able to hold out that, but certainly he's one of those players that's really emerged this year and thrust himself into the picture when a guy like Matt Kopierniak, who has a 40-man roster spot, has sort of slowed down the other way.
Well, that's a great insight, Brian. We appreciate you. People looking for more of that insight, you can see Brian's work at thecardinalnation.com. You can follow him on Twitter @X @B_Walton. That's B_Walton. Brian, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
You got it, Nate.
Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com talking Cardinals draft with a little bonus there in the discussion of Nathan Church, AAA outfielder who Bernie Miklas says could be pushing the Cardinals to make him part of their plans before too long. We'll take a break, and when we come back, touch on the Club World Cup and what that might say about the World Cup coming to St. Louis, or rather I should say coming to the United States next summer in 2026. That's still to come. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Gray Bar Sports Open Line. We're wrapping up on this Monday evening. We'll be with you all week long as the Cardinals have four straight days off for the All-Star break. Nate Gatter back with you in for Matt Pauly. Don't forget to join us tomorrow evening, 5 o'clock Redbird Rush Hour, 6 o'clock Sports Open Line. We'll be talking a little bit about the Cardinals' deadline outlook as it stands now, a couple of weeks, 2.5 away from the deadline at the end of the month. We'll be talking more St. Louis City as well, some of the roster additions, a couple of moves made to bring in some players. Of course, this is a roster that feels like it's been in flux for a city for, I don't know, over a year. At this point, we've been talking about trying to fit the pieces together and make things work again. Bill McDermott will join us as well to talk about the U.S. men's national team, who came up just short last week in the Gold Cup, lost 2-1 to Mexico in the final in Houston. Where are they headed into the World Cup on home soil next summer, especially with the drama that surrounded the U.S. men's national team and how many high-profile players missed either through injury or, more notably, for drama purposes, through just opting out from participation in the Gold Cup this summer and the limited opportunities as a result that the first-choice 11 is going to get to play together before arguably the most important soccer tournament in the history of the U.S. men's national team, certainly the most important soccer tournament in this country since it was last here, the Men's World Cup. So at minimum, the most important in decades for the U.S. men's national team coming up next summer. Along those lines, though, we'll also talk a little bit about the Club World Cup, which ended yesterday. FIFA has sort of been trying to grow the Club World Cup and make it feel like more of a big event as opposed to summertime friendlies. They brought the Club World Cup here to the United States, club teams qualifying from all over the country in all kinds of convoluted ways, which is part of the reason the Club World Cup doesn't resonate with people, because the team that ultimately won it, Chelsea, qualified not by winning the Premier League, not by winning the FA Cup, not by winning the League Cup, any of the traditional qualification metrics. The system is a little bit convoluted in that way. But the more interesting thing at this point is that I think the tournament finished with a little bit of a flourish, some big-name teams making it to MetLife Stadium in just outside New York, Chelsea and PSG in the final. Chelsea scored the 3 goals early and rolled in the end to the victory. There, I think, has been mixed reception. At times, you're playing games in really hot stadiums, which the players didn't like, in stadiums that are mostly empty, because games were being played during the day on weekdays, and a lot of people were at work. Tickets were also expensive. FIFA was regularly slashing tickets by huge amounts in the lead up to games, even the face value. There were people at the game who had also bought their tickets directly from FIFA, who potentially paid 10 times or more what the people sitting next to them did if they bought their tickets 48, 72 hours apart. So there were a lot of red flags, I think. And so I wonder if the Club World Cup had its intended effect at all, which was to sort of serve as advertising, if you will, for the World Cup next summer coming to the U.S. to kind of boost the anticipation, the interest that's going to be there, because the ticket prices for the World Cup proper are going to be even higher. They are going to be astronomical. And I wonder what that market is going to look like. I imagine for the U.S. games, for the Mexico games, it's going to be very strong. For the high-profile matches, say from the quarterfinals on, when you're seeing your England against Spain, France against Germany, those types of matches, I would anticipate that those markets will be very strong, even among American fans, that there will be a lot of desire to see those. I mean, one of the things we've seen across sports in this country and worldwide is that arguably demand to see A-list sporting events has never been higher around the world. We talked in the first hour with Mike Monaco of ESPN about the Wimbledon championships. The men's final yesterday between Sinner and Alcaraz, the cheapest ticket, the get-in price on the secondary market was over $20,000 per ticket. Now, that's unusual, right? That's the biggest tennis match. That's the top two players in the world playing in the most celebrated tennis match in the world. So that's unusual in that way. But nonetheless, the demand is astronomical for live sports in person when it's truly A-list events. And I think that will be true here. I wonder if what attendance is going to look like if you have, I don't know, the right examples. If you have Scotland against Honduras in Phoenix at 1 o'clock on a Wednesday, how is that going down? And we're going to find out, I suppose. But I think it's going to be very, very interesting. And I doubt that FIFA is tremendously satisfied with how the Club World Cup went. I'm more interested, obviously. I don't really care if FIFA makes money or not. They're going to be fine. I don't really care how many people go to the games or not. I'm more interested in seeing the U.S. Not just play well, but be in a position to feel like they did everything they could to play well. Like they didn't leave things on the table with sort of self-inflicted wounds in preparation, which it feels like the Gold Cup might have been. And that's going to be a focus of our conversation with Bill McDermott, which will come tomorrow evening here on Sports Open Line. If you can't be here to listen to it live on 104.1 FM, 1120 AM, you can listen to it live or on demand in podcast form on the free Odyssey app, as you can with all of our content, including free live Cardinals baseball if you're here in the St. Louis area, and St. Louis City soccer. All of that is on the Odyssey app. Final thoughts when we come back to wrap up Sports Open Line here on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Wrapping up Graybar Sports Open Line on this Monday night. Nate Gatter back with you in for Matt Pauly. Kyle Sixta is running things in our downtown studios. Hope you've enjoyed now almost 3 hours of straight Cardinals talk, going back to Redbird Rush Hour with Bernie Miklas, as much as we've enjoyed bringing it to you. Special thanks to all of our guests, Jen Cease, Mike Monaco, Brian Walton, for their contributions on City, Wimbledon, and the Cardinals draft, respectively. A lot of exciting stuff to talk about. You know, as a result, we didn't really get that much into just where the Cardinals are. That's something that we're going to talk about a little bit more tomorrow, because it's such an important part of how the Cardinals are going to handle the trade deadline, which was always going to be the pinch point of this season. You know, I think since the very beginning of the year, I've talked about it as essentially the Cardinals season is going to end on July 31st, and then we're going to wake up on August 1st and start a new season. And either that's going to be a new season where the Cardinals are now just an also-ran and we're focused on young players and what's to come in the future, or it's going to be a season in which the Cardinals now consider themselves a playoff team, and any playoff team has to at least internally think of itself as a contender. And those are really the two options, and you hope that the Cardinals just pick a lane. And I think they probably will. Unfortunately, from 2 to 3 weeks ago, it was looking like the Cardinals were almost certainly going to go down the, if anything, buy a little bit, within reason, conservatively, frugally, you know, at the deadline, to now I think you'd have to say it's more likely they sell than buy. Again, within reason, I don't think it's going to be a fire sale, but you want to try to recoup whatever value you can. I mean, certainly if by some miracle they could get a couple of good starts from Eric Fetty and get something for him, you know, Ryan Helsley has a bunch of value. I don't know that everybody is looking at Lars Nootbaar as a likely trade candidate, but I think Bernie Miklas' thoughts that he gave us this evening do make some sense. And part of the reason that he would make sense to trade is because he wouldn't be at the a name that's on the tip of the tongue of Cardinals fans saying, trade him, right? Cardinals fans would rejoice if Eric Fetty got traded, I think. But part of the reason he's not going to get traded is exactly that. If you want to get something worth getting, you have to give something worth giving. And you know, not that Eric Fetty couldn't still turn it around and contribute, because I think for stretches, like Bernie said, I think last year when the Cardinals made that trade, it was a good deal. You know, I liked it. I think they got good value, and I think it made sense to bring him in. It just hasn't worked out, in particular this year. But you know, sometimes that's how these things go. Helsley, I have a hard time, unless the Cardinals rip off a few wins between the end of the All-Star break and the deadline, and they're not going to get many opportunities, right? Probably a dozen games. Unless they rip off a few wins, I have a hard time thinking that John Mozeliak isn't going into that last week before the deadline thinking Ryan Helsley it needs to move. Because you just can't, what you can't have happen is the Cardinals end this season, don't make the playoffs, and lose Ryan Helsley for nothing when they could get at least one, maybe two solid prospects in return from somebody. I don't know exactly what the market is for him, as we talked about with Bernie earlier. You know, the market for him coming off last season would have been phenomenal in the offseason because he pitched like a truly elite reliever in every way. This year, his numbers are not there. At the same time, I think he is clearly still an A-lister relative to the options that are likely to be out there. And teams that are in position to contend are usually willing to pay A-list prices even for an A-minus guy. And so even if you think the numbers, especially some of the numbers Bernie was talking about, the 400 average against it, the fastball, the worse induced vertical break, those kinds of things hurt his value. Even if those are a minus, he's still an A-minus type of guy relative to what else is out there. And if the Cardinals, you know, can induce some kind of overpay, or even if they can just get a fair price, I think you have to strongly consider making that move, because with the Cardinals placing the emphasis on youth that they have, you can't go into next year without Ryan Helsley having not gotten anything for him, and thinking about how those guys might have been able to help the team over the longer term. So that's going to be part of tomorrow's discussion. We'll also on Wednesday be visiting with Derek Gould, who I think will be able to sort of give us a bit of the state of the union, if you will, of where the Cardinals are at, because it feels now a little more confusing than it did. I think there was so much optimism, and then the Cardinals have been so streaky over the last month going into this break. They've had a couple of really rough weeks. They had a nice winning streak and run in there. It's been a yo-yo back and forth, and right now they're at the low end of it, which is just a couple of games, five games over 500, and they've been able to stretch that more like 10 games over 500 at times. So I think if they were at the top end of that yo-yo, we'd be having different conversations right now about how the Cardinals should be ready to strike, you know, even if it's the first day out of the All-Star break and they get the right offer for the right guy, they should be ready to strike. Now I think we're preaching caution, and John Mozeliak's job in many ways gets even harder because the only thing he can do right now is wait even longer and try to get as much information as he can possibly get before he makes the moves. These things will be continued points of discussion. Redbird Rush Hour tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Sports Open Line. I'll be back with you in for Matt tomorrow at 6. Thanks so much for being with us. To our guests, Jen Cease, Mike Monaco, Brian Walton, to my producer, Kyle Sixta, Nate Gatter, saying so long. This has been the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.